A pre-Shavua shir, so I picked the topic, which I think is very relevant, not per se to the holiday, as much as to the event of Matan Torah, which of course we commemorate on the holiday of Shavuos, and that is the question of Elu ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chayim. And that's the official title. The topic, which I think is really an interesting one, and could be a philosophical and halachic issue, is the question of as follows. If we are celebrating a phenomenon which we believe existed and occurred historically, actually, of Hashem revealing Himself and giving the Torah to the Jewish people. So the question is, how do we understand the reality of multiple opinions, right? Did Hashem say to cook or not to cook? Did Hashem say to whatever the case may be? And since we know there are machloksim about all these things, so how do we understand the status of those machloksim? In other words, on a practical level, we all know, A, because we know it practically, and B, we know because it makes sense, that you have to pick once, you have to pick something to do. So we're going to poskin like some opinion somewhere. Do this, don't do that. But what about the opinion that argued? So lichaora, it's all just one huge mistake, and you could just, you know, leave it at that. The problem is, or what's fascinating, I would say the problem, the opportunity, if you will, is that there is two Gemaras, one in particular that's famous, but we'll mention two Gemaras, which seem to talk about multiple truths, or the idea that multiple things were said, contradictory things were said at Sinai. That's a very hard concept to understand. Is it really true? How do we understand it? What are the implications? That's what I think is a very important Shavuos-related topic, and certainly directly related to the whole concept of how we understand Matan Torah, and really the whole halachic process, since our whole life, you know, our learning life, is basically analyzing and understanding machloksim. So how do we understand the concept of these multiple opinions? So the most famous Gemara, the one where I took the title of the shir from, comes from the Gemara Me'erevin on Daf Yud Gimel. The Gemara here says an amazing thing, that Gimel Shanim Nechlechu Beishamai Beis Hillel. Beishamai Beis Hillel argued for years over the various points they had in dispute. Each one trying to prove Halacha Kamosa, and this one trying to prove Halacha Kamosenu. Everyone trying to prove their own opinion. And after 3 years, finally, of stalemate, Yotza Sabas Kol Va'amra, Elu Va'elu Divrei Elokim Chayim Hein, V'Halacha Kabeis Hillel. A fascinating duality. On the one hand, Elu Ve'elu. These are both, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, the words of the living God. They're both Torah. They're both truth. They're both Kadosh. And yet, we still have to know what to do. So what to do is the Psak is like Beis Hillel. It's an important point, by the way. Why is the Halacha like Beis Hillel? This is often not as well known. The Gemara asks the question itself. If they're both Elu Ve'elu, so how can we pass it like Beis Hillel? Fascinating, fascinating statement of the Gemara, which can be put together by other statements that actually talk about Beis Shammai being sharper and smarter. But here the Gemara says definitively, why do we pass like Beis Hillel? Because they were a bigger mention. They were more tolerant and respectful of Beis Shammai than the reverse. That not only did they acknowledge Beis Shammai's opinion, not only did they study Beis Shammai's opinion, but they would mention Beis Shammai's opinion before theirs. They would consider Beis Shammai's opinion before then, seeing if they disagreed or not. They didn't just say, this is what we hold and forget you. And apparently Beis Shammai did not excel on that level. And in that zechus, the psak is like Beis Hillel. Another Gemara, which is not as well known, but seems to be talking about a very similar phenomenon, is Gemara Chagiga Dav Gimel, that darshins the posuk in Koheles of Ba'alei Asufos. And the Gemara says, what is this referring to, this enigmatic pasuk? Tamid ha-chachamim shi-yoshvin asufos asufos, are in various groups, asukin b'Torah. Hello, Tamein, and the other ones are at Mitarin. Some say Osir, some say Mutter. Some say Pasul, some say Kosher. Frak the Gemara, or in second line, Shema Yomar Adam, maybe a person would say, like who wouldn't say, Hey chani lo mei Torah meyata, how can I know what's going on? How can I learn Torah? There's so many contradictions, it's so confusing. The pasuk continues, Kulam natnu me'roa echad. Kel echad natnan, parnas echad amran, bipi odon kalamasim baruchu. You should know that despite all the contradictions and despite all the machloksim, they all come from one shepherd, they all come from one master. It's all, in essence, without saying the words, Divrei Elokim Chayim. So that's the background. There is a concept in Chazal. Kamar also talks about a kapatish, let's say sela, that's like a rock being shattered. Right? So it's one Torah and it's shattered into a million pieces. Different opinions, but it's all one rock from one giver. So we have this concept in Chazal. Other sources as well make the point. of Eilu Ve'Eilu Devar Elokim Chayim, there being some kind of a status of all opinions, even those of Beis Shammai, even those of other opinions that we don't possibly like. And the question is, what does that mean at the end of the day? What does that mean? So, there are a lot of different understandings in the Mefarshim, and I would say, fundamentally, broadly speaking, I would put those into two categories. And what I will call them is basically the science approach versus the art approach. What do I mean? In science, when you do an experiment, when you're trying to get at something, so ultimately, there is going to be one truth. You're going to try to get a verifiable result. You may have to have various experiments. Someone who's trying to, you know, come up with a new medicine or a new perfume or whatever, they have a certain cocktail of whatever, and they mix it all together, and they put it on the Bunsen burner or whatever else they do, and they spin it around in that other gizmo, and it might come out with the way they want it, or it might not. If it doesn't, then they know, well, they need to add a little bit more of this, and a little bit less of that. And they might try four or five times, but then they'll get the right result, whatever it was that they were trying to accomplish. It's possible that halacha works that way, and we'll see what I mean by that in a moment. Alternatively, there may be what I call more of a art, right? Art, there is no objective verifiable truth, right? Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. There could be multiple truths. Two people could look at a painting and see opposite things. Who's to say one is more right than the other? So let's see first the science model of Torah. Perhaps the most influential and important Maor Makom in this regard, one of my personal favorites, is the Hakdama of the Nesivos HaMishpat. You're learning the Zikin this year, so perhaps you've learned many Nesivuses. They argue, of course, always often on the Ksos. When I was your age in Shana Aleph, Rav Yamar, they used to send to America to do Bechinas, and when he was away for 2 weeks, I guess it was, somebody who was in the cold, and Rav Dov Findel, who's now the Rosh Yeshiva of the very successful Yeshiva, Hezri Yeshiva in Sderot, he was like our sub for those 2 weeks, and he was doing Yad and Yad and Smich at the time. So he, part of Yad and Yad, especially in Eretz Yisrael, you have to know every Ksos and Nesivos. So basically, we did 2 weeks of Gemara Rashi Tosos, Ksos Nesivos. So I've never forgotten, I wouldn't say what he taught us, I've forgotten all of that. It's been 19 years, 18 years. Maybe you'll have better memories than me, and you'll remember this in 18 years. But I do remember such an impact it had. Not that I'd never, I'd seen, Yamar certainly taught us Ksos and Nesivos more a few times previously, but this was like a steady diet every day of another one. So I certainly have a lifelong connection just from that two-week experience. What I didn't see until much later is the Hagdama, the introduction that the Nesivos wrote. And I'm going to tell you an incredible story that actually personally brought this Maor Makom alive to me. And the story basically goes as follows. When I was ready to consider dating, I'm not going to give you the date, how old I was, or how that should anyway relate to your life. We could have personal discussions about that. But I was at a stage in life where I wasn't sure what to do regarding the nush. And I went to Mori Varab, I went to Rav Rosenzweig to ask him. And Rav Rosenzweig pulled out the Nesivos HaMishpat. I didn't see, I mean literally, because he knows it by heart, he didn't need to pull it out. But that was how he answered me a dating question. He said, well, you have to see what it says in the Hakdama to the Nesivos HaMishpat. And the Nesivos HaMishpat does not talk about dating. You can look from here till tomorrow. You won't see anything about dating there. But he does discuss the idea of a process and why sometimes in a process, even things that don't work out to the ultimate conclusion, though, can contribute and help in a way. He compares it to, if you take a look inside, he compares it to a diver who's deep sea diving looking for precious jewels. And the Nesivos, and this is the important point, the reason I put him in this section, I gave you this Hakdama, look at what he says in the opening line. He says, Av Gamzos! First thing the Nesivos says, and we'll see as we go on in the shir, this is, I wouldn't say controversial, but it's not obvious that he's correct. But he says unambiguously, those opinions that are quote-unquote wrong, that we don't paskin like, you could add the word Beis Shammai, they are a toos and they're a sheker. They're fundamentally, objectively, 100% wrong. And yet, mikol makom, nevertheless, toeles yesh ba'ol chachamim. But they serve an instrumental purpose. And he says, you know, we know that the Torah is nimshalak kamayim. So, many different drushes on why the Torah is compared the mayim to water. However, he gives his own explanation. And he gives an explanation. I'm not going to read the whole thing inside. I'll take it was too long. But he says here all about somebody, a diver, who's going down and he's looking for these precious jewels. And he says on the third line, again, imagine, especially in the olden days, there was no, you know, he didn't have a flashlight down in the deep sea. Koshalo lahasi gehevdel hadak shibinama bein evenach arsis hamunach etzlam rishum kimat bemareh zelezeh. He goes down and he thinks he has a pearl. He thinks he has an oyster. And it turns out it was just a rock. He goes down again. He thinks he's got a precious jewel. And again it's a rock. Ulam achar halaso or einav. And we could add 9th, 10th, or 11th time, however many times it takes. Im nimta. When he finally is successful and he gets that pearl, he gets the oyster, he gets the precious jewel, all those other times, those mistakes that he made where he picked up the wrong thing and it was a rock and it was garbage and it was this, they helped him. Why? Because he refined his sense of touch. He thought he knew what an oyster or what a precious pearl felt like. But he was obviously wrong. He picked up just a rock. And then he, again and again, says to the Sivas, listen, I guess you could, I would add, every now and then it could be that he randomly got lucky. Right? But says to the Sivas, thinking in the big picture, all those times that the diver goes down unsuccessful, he knows it's not there, it doesn't feel like this, it doesn't feel like that, until eventually he refines his sense of the underwater mystery, and he gets the right thing. So too, says to the Sivas, this is the role of Beis Shammai. It's all part of the halachic process. Ein hachinami, like the scientist, like the diver. There's one goal. You're looking for the pearl, you're looking for the truth. And there's one truth. For our purposes, we'll call that Beis Hillel. So what role does Beis Shammai play? Is that just a waste of time? Adarabba, that's Dibre Elokim Chayim. They contributed to the process. If it wouldn't have been for Beis Shammai, who said we ever would have gotten to Beis Hillel? It actually works perfectly with the fact that the Gemara said that Beis Hillel mentioned and studied Beis Shammai Shitas. So how do you think, says the Nesivis, that Beis Hillel got to the right opinion that they got to? Through examining and analyzing the wrong opinion of Beis Shammai. So what comes out from the Nesivis is an important thing. There is one objective truth, that's how we paskin. But when the Gemara says that there's a value, there's elu ve'elu by the other opinions, says the Nesivis, that doesn't mean that they're true, there can only be one truth. What it means is they serve a vital and necessary purpose in the halachic process. And as we'll see, this is relatively a minimalist view. We're going to see others who are going to have a much more maximalist view. But the Nesiva says, in Echanami, there's one right opinion, the others are wrong. But it's not a distraction, it's not a confusion. On the contrary, properly studied and understood, it helps contribute and get us to the right opinion. Yeah. And yet the Gemara says, halacha ke Beis Hillel.
Right, I'm saying that.
Okay, so good hara, it's a good hara. Obviously, he'd have to read it differently, but we'll see many who are going to read it like you. Okay, yeah. Yes, there's a tradition that we're going to pass on like Beis Shammai. We'll relate to that to some extent. Perhaps when we get to Rashi in number 3, not directly, but indirectly, and maybe even a little bit in the Nitziv in a second. But certainly we're going to get to Rashi, we'll see, perhaps. That actually worked, that's harder for the Nitzivas. Yeah, good question. Now you'll say, maybe, I don't know, Mashiach is all different, yeah, who knows what's going on there, yeah.
Now what are you saying? There are times when we say that we may be passing like him, we do pass him like him, but you can do like that also.
Good, so that's times where we haven't really made a decision. There are times. We say l'chachila this, but you have that. But the idea that... Yes, and the... Lav dafka, that's... We don't always bring it up in those kind of contexts.
No, like, not always, but...
It's all... You're 100%... You're correct, Lashi. You're right. You're on... You're definitely making a similar point, and I think it's a good point. I'm not saying the Nesivas could have an answer for you, but obviously those phenomena that you're describing, they don't work perfectly with the Nesivas. I will grant you that, yeah. That's not what the Gemara says. That we just read the Gemara.
Like the women that are
Say, the Gemara here may mentioned an incidental point. And again, if I was the Nesivos, I would tell you whatever the reasons, they were nicer, majority, those things that you perhaps the Nesivos would say, that's like the Simonim Min HaShamayim, or like the Hashkacha Pratus, so to speak, why we pass like them. And again, I'm not just talking about Beisham Beishillah, we're just using them as an example. It's for every Machlokas HaShas. Right? Rabbi Shmuel in this one, Rabbi Kiva in that one, right? So why is the Halacha Rabbi Kiva? So we assume that there, he's taught, so the Nesivos that he's right. Now, is it possible that we made a mistake in how we paskined? So a little relates to your points also. It is possible that Sanhedrin sometimes reversed themselves. Sanhedrin in one generation is allowed to change the opinion. But as we may not always know, it could be like, in a sense, I'll borrow the mushal even further, one step further. Like in science, like science is a never-ending process. In one generation they thought they had the truth, and the next generation they have a different truth. But the process or the goal is, as far as we know right now, this is the truth. Is it be that a Sanhedrin later disagrees with us and they're gutl b'minyan, they can change the halacha? And then we'll assume that that was the truth. But I'm talking now about a mindset, a mentality. The mentality is that there's one right and the other are wrong. It's our best, it's our job to try to figure that out. Now that's, in theory, a very logical way of understanding things. So what's shot in the value of the other ones? Says the Nesivos, that's what I want you to get from the Nesivos. What he says, the value is, they help, the process is what allows us to get, hopefully, the best truth. Last question. You're asking a different question, whether you realize it or not, which is not the topic. It's a much bigger topic, which is, how was Tarshav HaPeh passed down? Where do we get the idea of Machlokes? I think those are important, needless to say, they're obviously very important issues. But that can't be for this year. That's way too big, okay? And it's a little bit off. We're assuming that there are Machlokes. The question is, what's the value of the Shita we don't hold like? Elu seems to say there's a value. Says the Nesivos, it's an instrumental value. It helped us get to the right opinion. The Netziv has a parish to the Shiltos called the Hamek Shela. The Netziv is a very, 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 very long, I think it's actually probably one more very I should add, very, 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 very long Hakdama to that parish called the Kidmas Ha'emek. And in there he also discusses this concept, and he says something slightly different. He says the following. He says, even though when it comes to certain machloksim, like, did Rabbi Kiva say this or didn't he? And is this, really Rabbi Kiva Shita, or was Rabbi Meir Shita, or this one Shita? So those things, there's one right and one wrong, and we have to just pick, and the other one's just a mistake. He says, but, so that we don't even say Elokim Chaim with that. He says, we don't say that about all of them. So what about the machloksim we do say it about? So he says, listen, look at the bottom where I have it underlined, the last two lines. Yesh types of machlokes, the koldeya hu or b'fnei atzmo. The ar machloksim, like Beisham and Beis Hillel, where each opinion, even the one we don't possibly like, has its own divine light. Shemeir b'chachmas ha-Torah. Af agav she'en halacha kamoso, mikol makom divrem or godol is a prat, shlo me'inyin ha-misvakesh. Says in its Tziv, even the shittas that we don't pass them like, they're wrong in terms of the specific question. How many candles do I light? Do I light this way, that way? Whatever the particular is, they're wrong about that. But yet, they're divrei Elokim Chaim in a more fundamental way. And this, Asher, relates a little bit to your point. I think in this sense, it's a little bit stronger than Nesivos at this point. He says, because each opinion, I don't mean your opinion or my opinion necessarily, we'll have to get to at the end of the shiur if we have time, which shittas are good enough to get into even this discussion. But if we're talking about Beis Shammai, let's say, they, even though we don't passen like them in the particular practical instance, they are merit. They are based on a certain revelation, a certain chachmas ha-Torah. There's a certain truth that's embedded, that's part of their approach, even if bottom line, practically, their conclusion was wrong. It's like, for example, even though the Netziv famously in Volozhin was not like Reb Chaim, did not necessarily go with that Derech HaLimud. He had a more earlier kind of Derech HaLimud. But in this point, it's very similar to what Reb Chaim does many times in the Sefer, and certainly those who are in the Brisker orbit, Reb Rosenzweig would do this all the time in Shir, but you already see this in Reb Chaim's Sefer, which is that very often Reb Chaim will spend a whole time discussing a whole Mahalich. Then at the end, he'll say, but you can't say it because there's some Rambam way out in left field, and therefore there must be a different shot. I remember breaking my head once over Reb Chaim like that, and I remember I was at the time Chavrusas with Reb Aaron Soloveitchik's grandson. And I asked him, so why did he make us do that? A whole long column of something which seemed to be so staggeringly brilliant. We struggled through it. And then in the end, he says it's not true. So he said, I heard from my grandfather, and we could add Mestama from the Elter Zeta, from the Elter Zeta, so the Netziv is all from the same family. And he said, because the Reb Chaim does that when he wants to say that that Yesod that he was saying for the last column, the Yesod is true. That's Emes. It turns out, at the last minute, it's not Emes to explain this Rambam in particular because of this question. But the Yesod is Emes. So too, says the Netziv here also, what Beis Shammai said, there's Emes there. When he calls Or HaTorah, Or Elokim, it's there. Practically, in this particular point, we're not going to pass him like him, but there's Emes there. So even though it's in a fundamental way agreeing with the Nesivis, in that practically speaking, on the particular point, yes or no, there is a, it's not just that we have to pass since we have no choice. There's a right opinion, and we do our best to determine what the right opinion is. Aye, so how come we don't just throw out the, with the garbage the wrong opinions? Elu, elu, why? So even a little bit more ambitious, but still, I would say, in this science camp, if you will, the Netziv says, because even though there's a certain truth to them, in this particular point, we can't paskin that way. They're wrong about the final point, the final application. But there's a fundamental truth to them, and therefore they're divrei Elokim Chayim, but they're just not right about this particular point. Rav Moshe Feinstein, in the Hagdama to his Tshuvas, Rav Moshe Feinstein also makes a similar point. And actually, we'll leave aside the Hagdama to the Tshuvas, that we'll try to get to perhaps at the, I have that on the end of this year? Yeah, I have the Hagdama. But here in a particular Tshuva, he speaks about the Birchas HaTorah. Here also says the Rav Moshe, we're not saying that Beis Shammai is right. Beis Shammai is wrong. Passing against Beis Shammai. But why do we say Divrei Elokim Chayim? It has a Chafetz of Torah. Rav Shechter likes this approach very much. This is really Rav Shechter's approach, but it's already in the Tshuva of Rav Moshe. Because what it means is, if I were to study Beis Shammai all day, I would still make a Berachas HaTorah in the morning. That's what Moshe says. Or the way Rav Shechter likes to say, if I spent the whole day studying Beis Shammai, that's not Bittul Torah. I wouldn't pass like him, but it's a Chafetz of Torah. Now, why is it a Chafetz of Torah? Maybe that's because of the Nesivos, because it's practically the way we got there. Or maybe it's like the Netziv, because there's certain truths in it. I don't know. That Rav Shechter didn't say, that Rav Moshe doesn't say. But it's a very minimalist view. It doesn't mean that they're all true. It doesn't mean that everything's all equal and hunky-dory. It's not mean that at all. There is a truth. The truth is Beis Hillel. That's how we paskin. It's just that. It's still Torah if you study Beis Shammai. Therefore, you can make a Berachas Torah. Therefore, it's not Bittul Torah. The other view, what I'm calling, again, very Derech Moshe-ly, is this art view. The idea that, no, in fact, there is, even though we may have to have hachra'a to practically decide what to do, but we're more inclined to say that there's multiple truths. This is already hinted at in a Rashi in Ksubis. So Rashi here says again, Ki plagi tram orai b'dino b'isra v'heter kol achad omar hachi mistaber taima ein kan sheker ki line ein kan sheker. There's, it's not 100% wrong. It's not sheker. Not Beis Shammai or any other shita that we don't pass him like that. Elu ve'elu, he says explicitly, Divrei Elokim Chayim, that's what he means. The Zimnin d'shayech haitaima. The Zimnin d'shayech haitaima. This is, I can't remember who, but someone mentioned this earlier a little bit, which is that, not so much that the Sanhedrin will change, but maybe right now, people think that this shita makes more sense. But it could be that, because the other shita is just as true in a certain sense, no one's sheker, that in another time, we'll think a different opinion is correct. And he adds something important, he says, the hatam mishapech lefishinu hadvarim, b'shinoi ma'at. The difference between having the psak like you and not like you, it's a teeny difference. It's not the whole thing. Sheker, emes. That's a huge difference. Says Rashi, no, it's a shinoi ma'at. It was a little bit better. The Sanhedrin, the poskim, liked the shita a little bit more. But a little bit of a change, a little bit of a different metzias, a little bit of a different wind, and maybe with a little change we'll pass like the other opinion. It's true also, just a little bit different. The one who goes even further and most famously takes this multiple truth theory is actually the Ritva. And it's the Ritva quoting the Chochmei Tzarfas, which are basically the Bali Atosos, the French Bali Atosos. Says the Ritva on the Gemara in Erevin, Sho'olu Rabbonei Tzarfas, the question of the Shir, it's a question of Tosfos. Heich efshar shiyu shneim divrei Elokim Chayim. Is it also v'zemate? How could it be? How could two contradictory things be both from the words of a living God? Hashem is chosum shel kadosh baruch hu's emes. So how could two opposite things both be emes? Says Rabbeinu Tzarfas. This is unbelievable. Ki she'ola Moshe lamarim. Mamas a shavuos topic. When Moshe went up to Har Sinai to get the Torah, Heru lo al kol davar v'davar mem tes ponim le'asor. U'mem tes ponim le'hatir. Hashem gave Moshe, not only did he give him the heter and the iser, Hashem gave him 49 svaras to be matir. 49 svaras to be machmir. V'sha'ol ha'kadosh baruch hu hazeh. So even earlier, we thought it wasn't our question, it's Tosfos' question. Said Tosfos, it's not even our question. It was Moshe Rabbeinu's question. Hashem said, Moshe said to Rabbeinu, what's going on? So Hashem says to Moshe, Shiehze mosru l'chachma Yisrael shebchodor v'dor, v'yachroka mosam. Enechanami, Hashem says, how Moshe didn't know what to do. What's he supposed to tell the people? 49 this way, 49 that way. Says Hashem, Enechanami. For me, they're all equal. Mat, Mutter, Aser, Tamei, Tahor, it's all equal. There's no one better than the other. The Chachamim, with their Svara and their rules, will have to figure out practically what the Paskin like. But when Moshe left Har Sinai, says the Ritva, he didn't necessarily know if it was going to be Mutter or Aser. And he still didn't know why it would be Mutter and Aser, because there are 49 Svaras, Lakan or Lakan. That's for Chachamim B'chol Dor. But when Moshe came down from that mountain, the truth of Har Sinai was a multi-level, multi-strata truth. Tameh and Tahor are not contradictory. They're both mamish from the living God. Literally, says the Ritva. Because Hashem gave them both to Moshe with equal standing. And it was only later when Chachamim will decide which one is better than the others. But Klapi Hashem, 49 and 49. Yeah.
Where did the Ritva and the Baalei Tosfos get this dialogue from? Is it from the Gemara that he learned it out?
No, I don't think so.
Came up with it off the top of his head.
I think so. I don't know of a chazal. You have to check the Mosadar of Kook and see if there's a footnote there.
Is this only Ayam of Kooksim? When we have a Loy Alma, everyone agrees that this is Mutter. So did Hashem.
I guess so, yeah. I would think so, yeah. Well, let me put it this way. Let me say this for sure, I'm comfortable saying. Right? There's no machlokas, so we have to keep Shabbos. Right? There's not even a machlokas, as far as I know. Right? Let's say that. You know, Bishul is Asur Midaraisa. There's a lot of machlokes that counts as Bishul. Right? So on the very fact that Shabbos is Asur, and maybe I'll even go further and let's say that Bishul is Asur. So Enchanami, I would say, that Hashem told Moshe definitively. But Enchanami, the Ritva is saying, but anything about, I don't think Ritva is saying that there's 49 Sfaras that say Shabbos, you know, you can drive a car Shabbos. I don't think Ritva meant that. But like you said, on anything which we know there's a machlokes about, you shouldn't think, I'll add, like the Nesivus and the Neziv thought. Like our Moshe, like our Shechter thinks. You shouldn't think that really Hashem gave one, and it's part of the halachic process, to recreate and try to be detectives, to try to figure out as best as we can. And we're humans, so we don't always get it right. But we try to get back to that, oh, is that one thing? The farther you go, the more broad it will be, not less. Right? From the perspective of the Nesivus, it started off as one, and it's getting wider and wider. But in theory, there's only one up there. We just have to try to get to it. Says Ritva, no, even on top, it's very wide. 49 each way. That's 98, right? It's a lot of stuff going up there. Yeah.
The
flexible was mentioned before also about the idea that sometimes we say possum like him, then we possum like him. I don't know if that's a riot for it, but it certainly works better. We have a concept, I'm not going to have time to get into it, but there's a concept in Chazal of Kimli, right? Where we have a Shita we didn't Paskin like, but in certain contexts, the person is allowed to say in front of Sanhedrin or other places, Kimli like that Shita. So that's very hard to understand according to someone like the Nesivus. That works much better with the Ritva. I'm not saying it's impossible, it's in Shulchan Aruch, the Nesivus is going to accept it. But it certainly is a more natural fit for this multiple truth theory. The Yam Shel Shlomo and Baba Kama, in his Hakdama, also speaks about this. And he also, very Shavuos themed, Har Sinai themed, he gives a Kabbalistic, I know it's Kabbalistic because he says, HaMakubalim Kasvu. He gives a Kabbalistic approach. He doesn't quote the Ritva, but it's the same idea as the Ritva, but he gives an explanation, B'Shem the Kabbalist, of how that happened. Whereas the Ritva said it happened up on Har Sinai, so the Yom Shoshalma says slightly differently. HaMakubalim Kasvu Tamla Davar of Elu Ve'elu, namely, right? We know everyone, all the Jews in history were at Har Sinai. The Kiblu, Mem Tes Tzinoros, also the number 49. But he says there were 49 like pipes coming down from Shemayim down that mountain, 49 like slopes down the mountain to the people. And all the different pipes, all the different tubes that the Chachmas Hashem was coming down through were different, and people were able to access different ones, depending on how smart you were, what your proclivities were, what your personality was. The same thing Hashem could say was so profound and so complex that 49 different people, and or that's a mashal, I don't think there's any magic with the number 49 necessarily even. It could be 79, 89, or 1,000, or 600,000. Each person heard the same Divrei Elokim in a way that filtered through who they were. And Hashem anticipated that, says Mukobalim, and He sent the Torah down in these multiple tsunoros. Kibel lefi koach neshmaso el yona. Everyone, depending on how high or low they were, could interpret it or understand it in their own way. Zerochok mize, and many times they're very different. Ach echad higil tohor va'abez higil katzeh acharon letamei va'higil emsus rochok mina katzos. Hakol emes v'havein. So one person heard Hashem say asur, one person heard Hashem say mutter, and one person heard Hashem say maybe, somewhere in the middle, a middle shita. It doesn't matter, says the Yamsha Shlomo. They're all Divrei Elokim Chaim in the literal sense that Hashem said one thing, but it was because it's Hashem's, it's not you or me, that one thing was so complex, it was heard by so many different types of people, that the understanding of it, what we have Torah, it's not what Hashem said. It's what Hashem said as was understood by the people. And that came out in all these different ways. So in that sense, again, we're going to try to postulate what we think is the best way. But you're going to say that my way was given by Hashem, but yours wasn't? No, says the Yamsha Shlomo. They all came from Hashem. You heard it that way, and you heard it that way. Yeah?
There were only 49, though.
I'm not sure if he means that as some magic number. I'm not sure. If he means that as a magic number, or that's just a melitza for like everyone had their own opinion. Or own understanding of it. I don't mean an opinion like people consciously said, I like this one or better. He's speaking, and that's why in a certain sense it's important that it's Kabbalistic. He's speaking almost something that was unconscious or subconscious. But the what they heard, and if you would have asked each person, they would have said, Hashem just said it. So how come three rows over he heard something different? Because each person heard it through the shorish of their neshama. Yeah.
Logically strange that this is what
I want. It's, I would say strange, I would say surprising.
There are people out there that are not as brilliant, that are...
Correct! That's built into the system, step two. That's what the Sanhedrin, the Chachamim, the Choldor, Vador have to figure out, which one is the stronger one. But even the weaker one, you can still say Divrei Elokim Chaim, because the weaker one, he didn't come up with it on his own. He got it because this is what he heard from Hashem.
But it's not...
No, it is true. It's just not as good as the other one, according to the Chachamim of that generation.
So what's the...
Let me step back a time out. Everybody, the Ritva, whoever, acknowledges that we have to paskin. So there's some preference to Beis Hillel over Beis Shammai, or Rabbi Kiva over Chavero, or Rabbi Yochanan over this one. The question is, how, quote-unquote, worthless is the one that we disagree with? So you would have thought it's mamish nothing. And people like the Nesivis say it's slightly above that. Not much, but above that. It's objectively nothing, but it helped to the process. Or the Nesivis says, no, it's not objectively nothing. It's true in general, it's wrong here. Or Moshe says it's still Torah, whatever that meant exactly. Here we're saying further than that. Here we're saying, no, it's really from Hashem. Mamash, Hashem said... No, without saying that. He didn't say that. We have to figure out one way to paskin, that's true. But it's all based on something that was heard from Hashem. Again, it's not the same thing as saying only one thing was said and someone just...
There's no relevant. It's just literally that they heard it from Hashem.
Okay. I'm saying this is, to me, this is in a certain sense very similar. It echoes the Ritva. Just whereas the Ritva said Hashem sowed all 49 directly to Moshe. So here, the 49, if you will, is produced by different people hearing different things. Again, in a certain sense... It's a very important, very encouraging, exciting Mar Makom Siyam Shor Shlomo, because it certainly elevates the role of the listener. Right? Usually we think of Har Sinai as Hashem being the active one and us being the passive one. Here we're mamish, active partners with Hashem in producing the Torah. It's almost scary, but it's certainly exciting. Okay, no, because part of Torah is that we have to pick one, but they're still part of Torah because that's what Hashem said.
But we pick the
Yes, of course we have to pick one.
The ones
We didn't. I would say best.
Best.
Okay. Yeah. We have to pick something. Okay. Quickly, the Be'er HaGolah, the Maharal, also similar in this more maximalist camp, if you will. So the Maharal speaks. This is very Maharalian, and I'm not a Maharalist, but this is Maharalian. He speaks about how basically in life, everything is morkav. Everything is made up of composite parts. And whatever you see, whether it's the table or me or the sefer, is the sum total. But if you could somehow get a super duper halacho, kabbalistic, spiritual microscope, you would see that everything is actually not made up of just table molecules or human molecules. They're made up of lots of things, even contradictory things. But the percentages and the proportions equal opposite, not opposite, different things. This one came out as a table, this one came out as a book, this one came out as a, etc. So too, he says, that's Elu v'Elu Devilchim Chaim. Let's read you the key line. Everything, he says, Shedin ze yesh b'bachina l'zchus yesh b'bachina l'chova. Says there's no such thing as something that's absolutely right, absolutely wrong. Because each of the shitas are morkav, are based on a composition of different points, which point this way and that way. So if we pass it like this one, it just means that it has more right than wrong. But it's not 100 to 0. And this one is not 100 to 0 wrong. Everything is a composite. Gam b'Torah, ein davar echad tamei legamrei. This is a very important line. Ein davar echad tamei legamrei, says the Maharal. Shelo yebo tza tahara. There's nothing that has nothing tahara in it. It's all tamei. Rat, linyin ha'ochel ha'maisa, ein sofik she'echad yoter ikram en hasheni. Yes, this one has more right than the others. We possibly like it. But it's not 100% right. And the other one's not 100% wrong. Become makov al tamar ki yadavar she'enu ikar enu nechav klum. Don't say the thing that's wrong is nothing. Ze'enu. Upamim ha'bachino shavim legamrei b'tzadatman. Sometimes it's going to be actually 50-50, equal. And that's why, on the merits, it took 3 years and it was still a stalemate. They couldn't decide who was right. So we ended up having to have, you know, certain tiebreakers, like who was more nicer and politer, and we gave the halacha to Beis Hillel. But you see from that Gemara, says the Maharal, it wasn't they were more right. It wasn't they were more true. Adarabba, that's one of the rare times there was 50-50 mamish. But says the Maharal, other times we're really paskin like one shita, that's because it's more right. But not that it's all right and that the other one is all wrong. So before we just have a quick conclusion, I just want to sum up. Bottom line, so I don't know, 5, 6, 7, 8 shitas, whatever it was. My contention, this is just my contention, is that broadly speaking, we could group all these different shitas into two basic schools of thought. One, which I'm calling, I hope it's not confusing. For me, it's easier. I hope for you, it's also easier, not confusing. One, I'm calling a more, if you will, science experimental approach, which is that there is one goal that's out there that we're trying to get. And then everything else has some contributing role. Either like the Nesivo said, because it helps the process get to the truth, trial and error. It's like having, you know, a meeting where everyone's throwing out ideas and we figure that's just the best way. Or, like the Nesivo said, that each one of these things has a certain truth to it, even if it's wrong in this case, but it revealed a certain truth of Chachmas Elokim, which might be right somewhere else. Or of Moshe and of Shechter, who spoke about it being very minimalistic. It just means it's not a complete waste of time. Like you could either watch the ball game or learn about Beis Shammai. So it's better to learn about Beis Shammai. But like pretty much other than that, doesn't really contribute much. That's the more minimalist approach. All the differences notwithstanding, it's all in a certain basic agreement. But then going back to already in Rishonim, the Ritva from the Balei Tosfos and Rashi, we see him to have something which is, on the one hand, it fits better with certain sources. On the other hand, just philosophically, it's harder to understand how it could be. Namely, some kind of a multiple truth theory. Even though we speak about Hashem Yichos Mal Emes, it doesn't mean that it's a simple truth. According to these Mefarshim, it's a very, very complex truth. And truth does not mean the way we typically understand it is right versus wrong. Rather, truth in this context means something that was given by Hashem. So by definition, it has to be true. As just says the Ritva, Hashem gave 98 different things on each, arguments on each point. Half latame, half latar, half la'asr, half la'hatir. According to the Yamshel Shlomo, that was a particular factor, not so much of Hashem's original desire, as much as Hashem knew inevitably, if I give it to human beings, the divine word is going to have to be filtered through human ears. It's going to come out in different ways. Obviously, Hashem wanted it, or else he wouldn't have done it that way. So it's not exactly the way the Ritva says it, but I don't think it's a huge difference, personally. And then we also had the Maharal, who speaks about the fact that even when we paskin, Everything has a certain truth to it. Everything has a certain... So it's not 100% like the Ritva, where it's 100, all from Hashem, all equally true in that sense. But still, says the Maharal, there's a certain truth, a certain MS Eloki in each one of the Shitas, even the ones that we don't pass. Like, and in some cases, as he said in Beis Hamishol, it might even be equal. Let me just leave you with four quick points for what do we take with this? What do we do with all this? Aside from hopefully understanding Har Sinai better, Shavuos better, Torah better, that's like a given, hopefully. What else can we take from this? So number one, we should realize that even if there's Shivim Panim LaTorah, that means that there aren't 71. And even if we have a very big tent in Torah, that every tent has to have its limits. And the Rav Moshe here points out that not every Shita, by every Avram Yankel and Ruvain, necessarily merits being part of the Elu Elu, Devar Elokim Chaim. And he talks about Rav Moshe, the fact that it has to do with particular Chachamim, who were ayin karoi levar halacha b'shas b'poskim fikocho b'kovid rosh b'yiram yashem yizbarach. Minimally says Rav Moshe, can't be someone who just says shita. I have an opinion. You know, it's at lunch, and the rabbi said this and this in the speech. So I have an opinion that he's wrong. One of my talmidim last year from England, who spoke about the huge Erev controversy that raged for years in London. So he talks about the complex issues of halacha of Erevin in a big city. He says, for I don't know how long it was, every balabas at the Shabbos table had an opinion. It is good, it's not good. He says, it was like ridiculous. What do they know about Erevin? How could they have even an opinion? So that doesn't count. Says Rav Moshe, someone has to have the right chachma, put in the right effort, and have the right Yerushamayim. Someone who doesn't have Yerushamayim, so by definition, their opinion is not considered valid. We're not even discussing the intellectual merits. Says Rav Moshe, these are the minimum requirements to be part of. If you want to be part of the game, there's certain rules in that game. Chachma, the effort, the Yerushamayim, these are minimalistic. That's number one, an important point to keep out. Number two is, sometimes we get frustrated, sometimes we get even cynical. Somebody once said to me, what's your shir about? I told him the topic. He goes, what's the halacha? And before I can finish, he goes, okay, don't tell me, machlokes. Sometimes we get cynical, we get frustrated, and I'm not saying that there is sometimes frustration, but we certainly shouldn't get cynical. And Adarabba says, the Archa Shulchan, we should realize that in the riboy shitos, in the machlokes, not only is it not bad or terrible, that's the beauty of Torah. Here he quotes another Maimar Chazal comparing Torah to a shir, to a song. And he doesn't use it as, you know, Avram Fried or somebody singing. He views the song meaning an orchestra. He says, just like in an orchestra, if you had 20 violins or 20 trumpets, it would just be boring and loud. The beauty of the orchestra is that you have multiple different sounds and different instruments playing in harmony. So too, he says, the multiple shitos in the Mesorah playing together, that's the beauty and the symphony of Torah. Very, very beautiful piece. Kula nikra shira, v'tifera shir kishakolos mishunim zemizeh. V'zahu ikr ha'ni'imus. It would be boring and bland if everyone said the same thing. So we still have to know what to do. But we shouldn't be frustrated or certainly not cynical about the machloksim. On the contrary, it's that multiple truth, whether it's multiple truths or it's the system of the Nesivis. Now I'm not picking sides on that. But the sum total of the different shitas is very beautiful, says the Rosh Hashanah. Number three, we have to realize that we shouldn't think that just because there's multiple shitas, so I have a free pass to do whatever I want, and I'll always be able to hang my hat on some shita somewhere. When it comes to our practical life, so minimally, even if we're not one of the Bali Hara going to be paskening, so what's demanded of us is at least, because so I'll ask the rabbi. But you know, if I want to cool on this, I ask this rabbi. I want to cool on that, I have to ask the rabbi. You know, depending on what he answers. So that's ridiculous. That's fundamentally inappropriate. The Gemara in Ervin on Davav, also talking about Beisham Beis Hillel, says that someone who goes like only the Chumras of Beisham Beis Hillel, you might think that that's a great thing, a Machamir, says the Gemara in that context that you're like a blind man walking in darkness. You're a fool. That's a very harsh criticism. But even a harsher, says the Gemara here in Ervin, someone who goes Mikule Beishamai Bikule Beis Hillel, Russia is a Russia. There is minimally, says the Gemara, you have to have sincerity. Ein chinami. One person on your neighbor on one side of the street is going to do one thing, you're going to do another thing, and the neighbor across the street is going to do a different thing. And ein chinami, elu elu dirukim chayim. So who's right, who's wrong? We don't always know. We each have to follow our Rav, we have to follow our Shita. But lemaisa, for you, the person who's actually doing the this or the that, one requirement, says the Gemara, at least whatever you're doing has to be sincere. Either because you sincerely believe it's correct, or you sincerely believe, this is my rabbi. So if you would have told me to do it was Usr, I would have done Usr. Becky told me muster is okay. But I didn't go to him, or I'm not listening just because he said what I wanted. That says even though it's a shita. Beshamai is a shita, Bezil is a shita. But you follow the kulas of them just because they're kulas, that's a rasha. And last but not least, perhaps the trickiest thing is, and this should be a mamish muster for the whole shir, as that if it's really true that all these shitas, especially according to the Ritva, but according to everyone, have a certain value, whatever Elv Divrei Elokim Chayim means, it's certainly something positive. So again, I'm not talking about the ones who are holding the 71st and 72nd, 73rd shitas. Those are unfortunately out of the pale. But certainly anyone who's following, who has a minhag, has a mesorah, and is following anything in one of the Eluva Elu camps, so we should realize that we should, that obviously, minimally, we have to have respect in Avas Yisrael. The fact that we would somehow demonize or be intolerant of someone who has a different shita than us is particularly absurd when we appreciate Eluva Elu. Could be that they have mamash and emes Eloki just as much as us. So what makes sense is this? And the Gemara dramatizes that we should have this attitude for an amazing story, and this is kedai to end on. Yavama, Stav Yudalid tells us about the same Chachamim and Batei Medrash, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, that even though they were arguing not over just Hanukkah candles, I mean, who cares how you light the Hanukkah candles, compared to Arayos, Yuchsin, who's allowed to marry who, what are the halachos of Geirus, and all sorts of incredibly sensitive topics that Beis Shammai still argued about, nevertheless, as the Gemara, despite that, Lo Nimnu Beis Shammai, Me Lisa Narshim Beis Hillel, Lo Beis Hillel Beis Shammai, Lamedcha Shechiba Vereus, Noagin Zebaza. They married each other's daughters. They married into each other's families. Even though in the Beis Medrash, Beis Shammai might have allowed a certain person of Beis Hillel thought was a mamzer and vice versa. And nevertheless, it didn't stop them from being mamish, not just paying lip service to Achdus, but much more genuinely, they were completely intertwined, marrying each other, which is of course symbolic of the greatest sense of respect that they had for each other. Chiba v'reyus. If you want to know if it's a true machlokas l'shem shamayim, that's one of the ways to tell. When it gets personal and you can't like the person, that's already we're off the reserve. That's not where we're supposed to be. Chiba v'reyus noagin zebuzeb. So we've had lots of discussions in Torah. I certainly hope that it was in the spirit of chiba v'reyus. If I said anything that made it feel bad or embarrassed them, you'll accept my mechila. I certainly appreciated all your guys coming and the learning. And you should have a wonderful Shavuos of Chag Matan Torah Seinu and a good end of the Zman. And for those of you who will be here next year, I certainly look forward to seeing you.